and to all.
And to your spirit.
Our readings from the Holy Gospel according to the Evangelist St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord. Glory to thee.
At that time, Jesus took the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, You know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, You know that they, which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles, exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. At that time, one of the Pharisees desired Jesus that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace.
Glory.
Welcome on the Sunday when we commemorate St. Mary of Egypt. As you know, if you were with us on Thursday night, we read the life of St. Mary of Egypt. It's a blessed experience to go through that every year, because it's never too often that we should hear the message that God came into the world to save sinners. And when we see ourselves as chief, as she did, great things can happen in our life. Today we have two Gospels. The two Gospels are linked, as we'll see as we examine them. Who wants to be great in this world? In Jesus' world, God says, will be the servant. The great will serve. This is the indication of, and this is the proof of our love for God.
Yes.
Jesus himself is the example who gave himself, his entire life, for us, and for a ransom for many. He went to the cross for us, for you. He's our example. If you want to sit next to him in his kingdom, you do well. That's a worthy goal, to be near Jesus, to be where he is. But we need to know that such a place, truly any place in his kingdom, is granted by love and by service and devotion to him. Not to our position, not to our power, not to our authority over others. Your position in God's kingdom will be based solely on your life, and how your faith in God has been revealed in how you serve him and what your devotion is to others in accordance with God's command that's given right in these verses. That we, if we're going to be chief, if we're going to have a position with him, it'll be based on service. Our position may be great in the kingdom of heaven, or it may be small, but truly any position will come out of this love and devotion and service to God and to our fellow man because of his command. We see in the Gospel of Mark, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, truly blessed apostles of Christ, with him on the Mount of Transfiguration, they had a desire. The desire was that they would sit next to Jesus in his kingdom. They were cogent. They understood that Jesus alone can give positions. All authority is from him. And so they asked this question. The problem was that their question was phrased from a mindset that he was going to serve them and they were going to serve with him in an earthly kingdom. When he was talking about dying, they thought it was time for him to rise up and become the king of the Jews, the earthly king. And so they said, we have a desire. We have a desire. And he asked them, knowing full well what the desire was, what's your desire? So they verbalize it. They said, we want you to grant to us that we may sit, one on your right hand and the other on thy left in thy glory. I wonder which one thought he was going to sit at the right hand. Maybe we're like that. Maybe we have a desire. And our desire is something earthly, just like James and John's was that day when they said to the Lord, grant us that we can sit at your right hand and your left. They were looking at an earthly kingdom. But Jesus points out that these positions, and he's transitioning to the heavenly sphere, aren't given by him, but rather, he says, they're not mine to give, they're prepared. How is it that they're prepared? They're prepared by statements that follow for us. Jesus points out that we get what we earn. Truly, our faith results in something. He doesn't give us something. We obtain it by our faith, by our love, and our devotion. And so he starts to reorient their thinking away from an earthly kingdom, away from power, position, and authority. The ten, when they heard it, were much displeased. Perhaps you've heard people make statements like this and have been displeased. Perhaps you were a little jealous because you wanted the seat at the right hand. Jesus describes the difference between his two kingdoms and orients their thinking more precisely. When he says, you know that those which are great in this world exercise authority. They're the ones that sit on king's thrones. They're the ones that tell people to go and to come, to do this and to do that. But he says, they which are going to be great in my kingdom, whoever will be great among you, Christian, shall be the minister. Shall be the minister and the servant of all, if they would be the cheapest. The greater authority and the greater position in the kingdom of heaven is given not to those that lord it over men on earth, but who serve men and minister to men on earth. Truly, Jesus turns things upside down. What's important, he shows us, is not our power and our position in this life, but rather serving people. This is where we get a position in heaven. And he gives himself as the example, saying, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. God Almighty, to minister, came. And to give his life a ransom for many. We're given a position in this world because of our service. In the next world, our position will be solidified by our service here. Sacrifice and ministry to God and to others. Nothing is more important than that. And nothing is arbitrary about your position that you'll earn in the kingdom of heaven. Nothing is arbitrary. Jesus sets it out. Who will be great? Be the minister. You want a high position? Serve others. We follow his example. Now, with this legitimate desire to be great in the kingdom of God, it should be all of our desires, we need to consider what it is that would empower us to do what's contrary to this world's nature. What would it be that would cause us to desire to lay down earthly position and to serve and to minister to him and to others? The answer is found in our second gospel. See, if love brings a reward, love of God, love of our brothers, the real question becomes, how do we get such love? How do we become motivated to eschew the things that the world offers and to not climb the ladder of this world, but to climb the ladder to divine ascent? Truly, it's only by seeing our sinfulness. Seeing it fully. Seeing it really. In our hearts, not just in our heads. Appreciating God's forgiveness, magnifying it as unmerited, that we don't deserve it, magnifying him for his condescension towards us, loving him for who he is. Serving and loving God flow from a faith grounded in such a knowledge. And salvation, as we see in this gospel in Luke, accompanies such faith. One of the Pharisees desired that Jesus would come to his house and eat with him. But as we think about this Pharisee, we should note that while he invited Jesus into his house, he didn't invite him into his heart. His heart was cold to Christ. He didn't see any need for Christ. In fact, when he saw the woman who barged in, hearing that Jesus was there to anoint his feet, he looked at her and he saw she is a sinner. No thought of his own self. No thought of his own heart in need of cleansing. She is a sinner. And he thought this in his heart, it says, and Jesus immediately exposed the fact that he was blind. He thought she was a sinner, but I'm not a sinner. He was blind to reality. The reality is that all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. It's just that all don't see that. So Jesus, desiring to save him, answered his thoughts and said to him, Simon, I have something to say unto you. And what follows in this little device that the Lord gets to make him realize his state winds up being a very, very crucial question for us also. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence, the other 50. They had nothing to pay, but then the master, the creditor, forgave both of them. And so Jesus says to this man, this Pharisee, this Simon, he says, which one of these two will love the one that forgave them the most? This is a vitally important question to your salvation, to your soul, to your understanding of God's work. He thinks and he answers and he says, I suppose, he said, the one to whom he forgave the most. To whom he forgave the most. And Jesus said to him, you've rightly judged. Jesus affirms his answer. This is the view of self that's based on seeing our sinfulness and our forgiveness as being something that's desperately needed. It's a view that's based on humility and based on gratitude. This woman, this sinner, truly came and anointed Jesus' feet, and Simon had boldly kissed his face. This woman spake nothing, but just pleaded in her heart for mercy. Her faith was evident by her actions, her anointing with love and with gratitude and humility before Christ. The man was proud. Key to our ability to love God, key to our ability to serve others and to serve the Lord, key to being able to turn away from the world's glory that it offers, is this understanding that Jesus has forgiven us the most. He said to her, "Thy sins, which are many, are forgiven. Thy sins are forgiven." This is what we all need. And the love that she had is foundational understanding for us if we're going to be saved. This understanding of God's great mercy on us results in salvation, forgiveness of sins, closeness to God. It's an attitude in the heart. It's a spiritual discernment of reality. This whole view, this understanding that God's forgiven us the most, that we are chief of sinners, is one which the Apostle Paul had. It's the same one that the publican had when he stood, not so much as lifting his eyes up into heaven, beating on his breast, saying, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." This is the orientation that turns our eyes away from the glory of this world. And it turns us to become servants of the Lord, ministers to those who need help. It turns us away from seeking earthly glory and into servants. We become different when we have this view. This is an amazing truth, though, hidden in the statements about Jesus saying that he who loves the most will be the one that feels has been forgiven the most. Truly, every one of us can see ourselves in his debt the same way as the one that was forgiven the 500 pence. Truly, every person can see his own personal debt as being infinitely great. There's not a one of us that can't step back and in cogency look in our hearts and see that by God's standard, we've fallen short of the glory of God. None of us should feel that our debt is small. We're all miserable sinners. We've all fallen short. We're all hopeless without God's help and his mercy. We're all shut out of the kingdom. When will we wake up to the great mercy of God towards us? Towards you, towards me. As individuals, there's a miracle of divine mercy available to us when we wake up and in humility and gratitude begin to see God as merciful and loving towards us as individuals, not to somebody else. When we see our own sin, not the sin of our brothers, we need to begin today to appreciate truly what God's done for us and the service that he's done for us in providing himself a ransom for many and coming here as our minister. When we do that, our faith will finally begin to get traction so that we can become servants and we begin to want to serve God and to love God and to serve him and our brothers. May the Lord somehow give us insight into our real state in this world, and may seeing we have eyes to see who we really are. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Glory to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.